Welcome to the Infrastructure Show. I'm your host, Professor Joseph Schoffer of Northwestern University. The Infrastructure Show is designed to present to listeners the reality of America's infrastructure, its condition, why it is the way it is, and what can be done about it. This is the second in a series of three podcasts about using concrete for tall buildings. Concrete is among the oldest of building materials, but it has changed radically over past millennia, and so have its applications. In this conversation, we'll learn about designing tall buildings made with concrete from architect and structural engineer Joe Burns, who is managing principal with the design firm Thornton Tomasetti in Chicago. Thanks for talking with us today, Joe.
Yes, thank you for inviting me to participate in this.
Can you tell us how and why the material for tall buildings seems to have evolved from steel to concrete over the past 10, 20, 30 years, something like that?
Well, it is fascinating for sure, Joe, because if you go back 40 years or so, we'd be at the Sears Tower topping out in Chicago, I think 1974, and it was the tallest building in the world, all structural steel. And now, while you do see a mix of steel and concrete, you hardly ever see an all-steel super tall building. And in the case of the tallest building in the world presently under construction, 1 kilometer, that's an all-concrete building in Jeddah, Kingdom Tower. So it's really, I think, a couple of things have happened. Concrete has gotten a lot stronger and higher performance, for sure. One of the things we've learned over time is that the mass, the additional mass that you get with the concrete structure, is helpful towards damping and other dynamic performance of the building. And new techniques and technologies to pump concrete at ever higher stages is also available. So I think all of those things combined, I think the other thing you see more and more is that these super tall buildings are either mixed use or mainly residential. And so again, as we see in many structures of the world, the residential buildings tend more towards concrete because of the reduced ceiling section.
So what you're saying is you can build thinner floors with concrete?
Well, yes. Well, it doesn't have the structural steel beams. You can use the flat slab and flat plate construction and reduce the, you know, the floor-to-floor height.
So it gives you more usable space?
Yes, yes.
Concrete is a building material. How does it behave differently than steel? You talked about the mass. How does it respond to wind and seismic forces?
Well, clearly, from a seismic standpoint, the extra mass isn't helping us because mass obviously relates to the forces produced. But in terms of wind performance, the additional mass does improve the damping characteristics, which helps with the dynamic characteristics or what one feels in the building relative to wind. So, you know, I think that both steel and concrete, because so there's so much reinforcement in concrete, so it's not that we don't have steel, it's this mix of steel and concrete, of course. And in some cases, in super tall buildings, we actually embed large structural steel shapes inside of the large super columns.
So are you getting load-carrying ability from the concrete and the steel in those conditions?
Yes, yes.
So it's not just a matter of the concrete is giving you fire protection when you embed those large structural shapes.
No, you have actual real additional structural capacity with the concrete.
You talked about changes in the strength of concrete. Has that made a large difference in terms of your ability to build tall with concrete?
Well, it does because we can make smaller members, obviously, with the higher strength concrete. And even with high strength concrete, we still have very large thick walls at the base of the building and super columns. Admittedly, as we go up the building, we can make the columns smaller and use lower strength concrete as the demand for strength reduces. But there's no question that the additional strength helps make for a more usable floor plan.
So the mix of concrete, the strength of the concrete changes as you proceed up the height of the building?
Yeah, typically even a tall building, but super tall buildings, and now the term mega tall buildings come up, buildings over 600 meters, for sure you would adjust the strength as you go up a building where you don't need the highest strength concrete, which obviously at the base where the forces are greatest is commonly used.
So you as a structural engineer would specify the strength of the concrete?
Oh, yes. It's part of the design process. Not only do we specify the concrete strength, Joe, but we specify the elastic modulus because the stiffness of the mix of concrete is nearly as important as strength relative to our calculations and our predictions of performance. That'll be part of the specification as well.
So it's been a long time since I studied that, but can I translate that to mean, well, that affects the stiffness of the structure as the modulus changes?
Yeah. The modulus varies in concrete with concrete strength, whereas structural steel, no matter, you know, high strength steel, low strength, they all have the same elastic modulus.
So you're trained both as an architect and an engineer. When you're working on a tall building, who has control of the critical features on that building, or is it really a true collaboration?
Well, here's the thing with these megatall buildings. The structure is very critical to the success of and the affordability of the building. And so good architects that design super tall buildings, such as Adrian Smith and Gordon Gill, who we do a lot of work with, they are very comfortable designing these types of buildings. They definitely collaborate with the structural engineer in developing a very high-performance plan. And so whilst I am trained and registered as both an architect and engineer, what I really focus on, of course, in our business is the structural engineering. We also do facade engineering, which we think is a directly related consultancy to structural engineering, that all the cladding gets attached to structure.
So when you say facade engineering, does that relate to the term curtain wall?
Yes. Yeah, curtain wall, facades, building skin. There's all sorts of names for the term that encloses the building. But it's obviously a very critical design element now, both structurally, because, of course, it has to withstand wind and seismic forces and thermal forces, but equally so, given the focus on sustainability and energy use, issues like thermal transmission and daylighting and things like that are all technical issues that need to be addressed during the design process.
Are there architectural features that are more easily designed into a concrete building compared with a steel building?
Well, I would say concrete likes repetition, clearly, that, you know, the formwork systems typically either jump up or move up floor by floor. And typically these form systems like to have the same floor to floor height. And of course, the form often is extruded in either a circle or a square or whatever it is. It gets sort of extruded and portions drop off. That's a really good form for concrete. When you have multiple changes in floor-to-floor heights or double-height spaces and many variations, structural steel becomes very interesting because it's very easy to fabricate the one-off beam or the cantilever or things like that, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
So, not surprisingly, I think a lot of the traditional residential buildings in Chicago, you'll see, are sort of extruded forms. They pretty much are the same floor, you know, floor after floor. The one difference I could think of is Jeannie Gang's Aqua Tower in Chicago, which fundamentally, if you look at it, is very repetitious, same floor-to-floor height, same column layout. The slabs, though, are different on every floor, but that was a matter of being able to lay out a different edge screed on every floor. So, that was a good use of concrete.
Also, isn't that a repeating pattern as you go up the building?
Not the balconies. No, the balconies are not repeating.
Really?
They're all different. But the floor plan, if you trimmed off the balcony, you'd be left with a pretty standard apartment building.
So is the nature of concrete such that it's a rate limiting factor and how quickly can put that building together?
Well, no, the contractors have gotten pretty good at 4-day cycles, things like that. I think in New York, they even do like 2- and 3-day cycles of being able to set the formwork, lay out the rebar, and then pour concrete, and then, you know, strip it and get on to the next section. So, you know, concrete can move pretty quickly. Steel, in theory, could be a little quicker, depending on how complicated it is. The one other aspect, you asked much earlier, Joe, the differences between steel and concrete. One of the biggest differences is concrete creep that has shrinkage and creep volume changes, and steel doesn't do that. Now, steel clearly elastically deforms. I mean, in terms of as it picks up the columns, pick up weight, then the column shrinks a little bit and deflects, but that's predictable. And the problem with the concrete building is that creep occurs over time, and we need to predict it very carefully because if various walls and columns are differentially stressed, then you could end up with differential deflection. In fact, that's exactly what happens. And we try to minimize that as much as possible. And In a short building, this is not noticeable, but in super tall buildings, it could be significant in terms of long-term performance. So it's not a problem that can't be worked around technically, but it is one of the big differences between steel and concrete. And of course, when you mix steel and concrete, as we did at the proposed Chicago Spire building with Calatrava, when you had steel perimeter columns and a concrete core, then you had to be very careful about the differential shortening between the perimeter and the core.
That creep happens over a very long period of time, does it not?
It does, though a lot of it occurs in the first several years, you know, and yes, it continues on for many years, but a significant amount of it occurs within, you know, sort of the construction period.
If I remember correctly, wood is another material that has that odd characteristic.
It does, although wood, of course, we're not talking about super tall buildings yet in timber, although there is a lot of talk of tall buildings in timber. Timber has a characteristic that it shrinks cross grain much, much more than long grain. And typically in a column, you're obviously supporting on the long grain portion.
So looking ahead, thinking about the buildings you're building now and what you see in the future, is there a limit to how tall we're going to see buildings built made out of concrete?
Yes, there always are limits, but two things are going to continue to change. The limits right now, I believe, aren't technical, but cost-wise. And then from a way beyond, if at unlimited cost, meaning someone says, I just want to go several kilometers and you know, I don't care how much it costs, there would be eventually a limit in terms of just the load-carrying capacity of steel and concrete. But I think that's where we start looking at new materials like carbon fiber and things like that that are very high strength, low weight materials. So I think we will continue to innovate as the drivers of the need to go even taller and the money to do those projects become available. Then I think that we will find the innovations to match that.
That is very interesting. So do you foresee in the future that we'll someday be talking about carbon fiber buildings?
I think we will. I mean, one of the interesting aspects, Joe, is in our industry, at least the building industry and perhaps some of the infrastructure industry, is that our industry follows the aerospace industry by about 20 years. So if you go back to the Boeing 777, 20 years ago, they were using BIM modeling and procurement methods that are pretty much what we're doing in the building industry today. And so the question is, in 20 years, will we be building buildings the way Boeing is doing the 787, which is more of a componentized development, carbon fiber fuselage, a very lightweight material, a lot of carbon to reduce the weight and make higher performance airplanes. And so I feel like if you track, again, how we follow that industry and you look at what they're doing now, one could sort of predict that, yes, you'll probably see much more use of carbon fiber and other materials. And not just for patching and repairing, which is pretty much already being used in the construction industry, but not as major construction elements.
That is a very interesting future, something we can really look forward to. Joe Burns, I appreciate your spending the time talking with us today. You've given us a lot of insight into the building design, and I look forward to seeing you back in Chicago sometime.
Great.
Thank you.